in this time, to add on of what we shared about just before worship, as we're trusting the Lord to reveal more of Himself, and as we are hearing His voice, as we are acknowledging that we are hearing His call and His invitation, I want to start in Ezekiel 36, and I want to read to you just a promise that Jesus gave us in the beginning of the year that is so dear to me, but I believe there's a key for us in this week and in this time that we need to grasp to understand what it means when God breaks in our lives, when God breaks through in our lives, when change happens. And then we're going to do something very simple this morning. We're going to go through, I'm going to take you through many biblical examples just to show you where it is that people encountered Christ, their posture, their heart's posture as they move towards Him, and biblical examples of people encountering God and the change that it brought about. Because if it is true in the old covenant that people encountered the Lord, and if it is true in the new covenant that people encountered the Lord and He changed them, then if that was true, then it is true now for us. If biblical history shows us that this is true, then we can believe it, we can take it for today. You can trust the Lord for an encounter for you. And I believe that is what is needed. Not just to know about God, but to know God. Not to have a relationship with the rules of God, but to have a relationship with God. You're getting this, okay? So let's read together in Ezekiel 36. This is a promise we received in the beginning of the year. It says from verse 33, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do this. This is such a powerful promise that the Lord has given us, and this is something that we have been praying about this whole year. And I think what we are trusting the Lord for I'm trusting the Lord in my life, and we're trusting the Lord for this in your life, that He will resettle you, that He will cleanse you, that those areas in your life that was ruined, He will rebuild. Those areas in your life that was desolate, He will cultivate, right? And that everybody, that He will do this in the sight of all who pass by you. That people will look at your life and say, that was a life that was laid waste, but the Lord has made it into the Garden of Eden. It was desolate and destroyed, and it is now fortified and inhabited. And we just have a sense that this is what God is wanting to do in His people. He wants to make His bride beautiful, right? Amen? And the key for me in this is in the end, it says, I, the Lord, have spoken and I will do it. If we, I don't know how to put this in another sense, but you can't rebuild your own life. It is truly those who come to the place of surrender and know that, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot change. I am desperately in need of You. I am poor in spirit. It is that posture that the Lord loves, and it is that posture that the Lord inhabits, and He changes a life that comes before Him. But I want to say to you, when it comes to our change, and when the Lord is coming to inhabit the praises of His people, inhabit your life, breakthrough in your life, He's saying He will do it. The posture of your heart is what is important before Him, right? It is to come to that place of surrender before Him. He will do it. He is the miracle worker. Amen? He's the miracle worker. And I just want to take you quickly through a few examples in the book of Matthew. Just like broad picture, how people when they came to Jesus, the posture of their hearts towards Jesus and the miracles they receive, because I believe there's something in this. I want to add and build on what Jan said about being poor in spirit. If you haven't heard that sermon, please go and listen to it. It is, I think, critically important for us in this stage that we posture our hearts correctly before the Lord. Because who of you understand that Jesus pours out His grace on the humble? On the humble, right? So I just felt led this week to go and read through the miracles, and it was just amazing to me who received power from the Lord and miracles and a touch and an encounter from Jesus and who did not receive it. Okay, so there's two examples I'm going to give of the Pharisees, and you will clearly see the distinction between how people, those who received their miracle, how they encountered, how they came to Jesus, how they approached Jesus in a sense. The first miracle we see in Matthew is a man with leprosy, right? An outcast in society. He didn't seek Jesus privately, but he came before him and he knelt before Jesus. With no demand, he had no other options. It was Jesus and Jesus alone. His heart posture, he knelt before him, just showing humility. A centurion coming to Jesus to ask Jesus to heal his servant. Now, a centurion is a Roman. Now, for a Roman to go to a Jew to ask for help, I think if you understand Jewish and Roman relations at that time, that's a biggie for a Roman centurion to go to a Jew to go and ask him for help. But he goes to Jesus in humility and he asks him. It is that thing that there's no other option. He's tried everything. Can you remember the man that was paralyzed that Jesus healed, his friends breaking open the roof to get him to Jesus? Another ruler coming to Jesus, his daughter has died. He kneels before Jesus and he asks Jesus, please come and raise my daughter. The woman with blood pressing through the crowd. With no other option, she has to touch Jesus. A blind and a mute man crying and calling out to Jesus. I just have this sense as I read through these examples of desperation. Of there's no other option of Jesus. And then comes the Pharisees. And what they say to Jesus is, Jesus, if you are really who you say you are, show us a sign. Then I'll believe you. And what did Jesus say to them? I will show you no sign. Versus the others that said, Jesus, I have no other way, place to go. Touch me. Right? After that, Jesus feeds 5,000 people that endured and followed him. Didn't walk away from him. A Canaanite woman came to him crying out for Jesus to heal her demon-possessed daughter. After that, Jesus feeds 4,000 people that followed him, that listened to him for 3 days without food and water. You see the desperation of these people. And then again, the Pharisees come and say, Jesus, show us a sign. And if you show us a sign, then we will believe you. Jesus said, no sign will be given to you. After the Pharisees, two blind men shouted to Jesus for their healing. Desperate. These are just some examples in the book of Matthew of the desperation when people approach Jesus saying, Lord, there's no other way. And I want to say to you, it is truly true. Blessed is the man who is poor in spirit, for his is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom manifested in these people's lives because of the posture, being poor in spirit, saying, Lord, there's no other way for me. I don't have any other options. It's almost like Peter, when Jesus preached a sermon in his church that nobody understands, a little bit of a weird sermon, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and none of his congregants understand what he's saying, and his whole church leaves him. Right? That's like anti-church growth strategy. Okay? You must preach in such a way that everybody understands always what he's saying. And Jesus turns to his elders and his leaders, and it's not like he's trying to keep them there. He says to them, listen, do you guys also want to leave? I'm not going to try and keep you here. And Peter's response is what? Lord, where else shall we go? You have the words of life. Nowhere else he can go. Consider Moses. It says, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, we won't go from this place. What will distinguish us from all the other people on this earth? And this is such a striking question for me, is what distinguishes me from all the other people on the earth? If it is not his presence, then I'm only a number in the sea of people on the earth. What distinguishes the church from other people in the earth? If it is not the power and the presence of our Lord and our Savior. Amen? I love it when it says in Acts, the people were afraid to go to church, but the Lord added to the church. Okay? Boom. That's awesome. Right? Consider Joshua just refusing to leave the tent of meeting. Lord, I'm seeking after you. I'm seeking after you. And just have a sense in my heart, you know, that the kingdom of heaven is not for those who seek lukewarm, comfortable Christianity. But seldom pray, compromise with the world, neglect the word, and have little spiritual hunger. But we have these examples in scriptures. The kingdom is for men like Joseph and Nathan, and Elijah, Daniel and his friends, Mordecai, Peter, John, Stephen, and Paul, right? For women like Deborah, Ruth, Esther, Mary, Anna, and Lydia. Men and women that was totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that had no other way. They didn't have a back door locked. They took out the door and cemented the whole thing closed. There's nowhere else to go. There's no other choice to be made. I've made my choice. He's my King and my Savior. I will follow Him and no other. These are men and women that sought the Lord in humility and poor in spirit. And you know what? They found Him. Because His invitation for us is to seek Him because He wants to be found. By us and by you. They sought his kingdom first. In Matthew 7, verse 7 to 11, the scripture says, Jesus is saying in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Jan referenced this morning as well. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, so many of us, we stop at asking, we stop at seeking, we stop at knocking. Don't stop until you receive, or somebody opens, or you find. This is a double-sided coin that we overemphasize the seeking, but sometimes we feel there must be almost a balance in the seeking and the receiving, the seeking and the finding, the knocking and the opening. Right? If we just shoot prayers and hope we hit something, I think we're missing it. We must seek the answer to a prayer. Let's just leave it, but seek it. Keep on seeking, right? Which of you, in verse 9, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Church, are we hearing him? He's inviting us because he wants to be found by you, right? He's wanting to encounter you. These men and women, these examples of miracles in only the Gospel of Matthew, these men and women that saw Jesus, that sought God, was found by him, and they encountered him. And here's the thing, their lives were never the same again after that. I believe it is one encounter with the Lord that can change everything. It was an encounter with Jesus that changed you from a sinner to a saint. It is not in your working harder and working more, but it is in your surrender that faith grows, that you find Him where you are changed. If you need change in your personal life, my answer is you need an encounter with the living God. If you need change in your marriage, you need an encounter with the living God. In your parenting, in your work, what is going to bring about the change? Your clever ideas? My clever ideas? What is going to change? This is only an earthen vessel. I can only boast in my weakness. Right? And we can marvel on the cross of Christ. He says he comes and he brings his glory in earthen vessels. To be okay with my weakness, to be okay with the fact that I'm an earthen vessel, and not being overwhelmed and yani amarga type of thing, but being, say, God, I'm not so focused on me being an earthen vessel. I'm more focused on your glory than anything else. I don't care how I look in this. May people see you and experience you. Consider the encounter Abraham had, right? God changed his name. Do you know that an encounter with Jesus can change your name? He can change your identity and he can change your destiny in one encounter with the Lord. And I feel there's some of you seeking for those defining moments. And I believe we are at the edge almost of defining moments. That there's moments in this next time, in this season, that's going to define you, that's going to change you, that's going to bring purpose to your life. Some of you feeling like there must be more. There must be more. That unction you are feeling is God himself awakening a deeper call and a groaning with inside of you. Don't just squash it. Respond to what you are sensing inside of him. But let's consider a few characters in the scriptures. Abram, his name meaning high father, and he counted God. And God changed his name to Abraham, a father of a multitude. He did the same to Abraham's wife, Sarai. That was, her name meant my princess, and he changed it to Sarah, meaning mother of nations. Just a man like us, men and women like us, encountering the living God, and everything changes in a moment. Consider Jacob, right? That had an encounter with the living God, a dream in the wilderness at Bethel that changed him. Now, Jacob was a deceiver and a schemer and a trickster. He was not a good guy, right? He encounters God, and God changes his name. He awakes from the dream and he says, this is an awesome place. I didn't know God is in this place. And God changes his name from Jacob to Israel, the Prince of God. And he becomes a father of a nation. Consider Moses, that encounters the living God in a burning bush. And he changes a backcountry shepherd into a bold leader and a deliverer of a nation. Consider Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He meets God in Horeb after running away from Jezebel, a prophet scared, running away. He meets God and he boldly and courageously, after his encounter with God, goes back to what he was afraid of. I believe it is your encounter with God that some of you are afraid of stuff. And if God is going to encounter you, you're going to face that. You're going to be able to face that, those fears. Consider Isaiah in Isaiah 6. He sees the Lord and he changes from a man of unclean lips to a great prophet, prophesying of the coming of the Messiah. Deborah, from a respectable judge, she encounters the Lord and she becomes a deliverer of a nation. Consider Peter, his encounter with Jesus, and Jesus changes his name from Simon to Peter, right? Consider this man that denied Jesus 3 times, right? He was afraid for his life, running away, and has an encounter with the living, resurrected Jesus Christ, and after that becomes a church father and a martyr. What changed in these people's lives? What caused change in their lives? None other than an encounter with the Lord. Was he Sondag school nie? Was he sulke goed nie? It was an encounter with the living God. We cannot have this faith that we cannot only read the scriptures and stop there with head knowledge. We need an encounter with the one who wrote it, the one who spoke it, the author. We need an encounter with him. He will change us. Consider Saul, right? On the road to Damascus, a fire-breathing persecutor of the church encounters the resurrected Christ. And after that, he is a fire-igniting apostle and evangelist that takes the gospel through the whole Roman world. One encounter changed everything. One. And these are just some of the biblical history stories. Now, if it was true for them, it is true for us. It is true for us today. And I pray that the Lord will today stir your faith not to settle for lukewarm Christianity. Not settle for a, yes, we're coming again. We're coming together again. It's going to be same old, same old. After the New Testament, consider St. Augustine. Right? He heard a voice saying to him, take and read, take and read. And the Spirit led him to Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. And he had such conviction, and it changed him from a skeptic to one of the greatest theologians of the early church. Bertha Smith encountered the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and His healing presence. She was a Baptist missionary. Immediately went to China and preached the gospel in China. Consider D.L. Moody, who encountered the Lord's calling during a prayer meeting in a hayfield. And it changed him from being a poorly educated, unconfident shoe salesman to one of the greatest evangelists of our modern time. He preached and sparked many revivals in England and in the United States. Consider Catherine Kuhlman. Who of you know her? Right? An ordinary, red-headed, little bit weird from my perspective, woman that encountered the Lord. Just ordinary person. Became a miracle-working minister for the glory of the Lord. Billy Graham, you all know him. He encountered the Lord in a hotel room in Los Angeles. And that was a moment of transformation for him. From just a normal guy that wanted to pastor a church to one of the greatest evangelists of our modern time. Consider Todd White. Who of you know Todd White? Daniel Kalenda. These men have encountered the living Christ. Todd White was a drug addict. Crackhead. He encountered Christ and is a great evangelist today, having a worldwide impact. What changed? What caused that? Encounter with a living God. The encounter with Jesus. And that is what we are trusting for. If it was true in the biblical account, if the biblical account testifies to this, I want to say to you, what will bring about change in your life? Encounter with Jesus. Don't seek the answers, seek Him. Seek Him. He is going to be found by you, and He will change you. The answer lies with Him. Are you getting what I'm saying? These examples just reminded me of Jeremiah 29, where we are at. I just want to read this to you from verse 11. It's well-known scriptures. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Or another way to say this is to give you a hopeful future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, says the Lord. Isn't this amazing? He says, you will seek me and you will find me. And I think today, as a house, we want to set our hearts and set our sights to seek Him. Because He says He will be found by us, by each one of us. You know, when we encounter Him, it's amazing. Some of you have had this encounter, but He changes a sinner to a saint. He changes a person from being rejected of God to being the elect of God. He changes the state of your character from being unrighteous to a state of righteousness in the sight of God. He changes you from being an outcast to a child of God and adopted in His family. He changes you from being dead in your trespasses and sin to being alive with Christ. He changes you from being separate of God to being sealed with the Holy Spirit. He changes you from being, from having enmity with God to being reconciled to Him. He is the one that changes you. He is the one that changes me. And I believe this is what the church needs. This is what we desperately need. The touch of the Lord. An encounter with the living God. And I believe that as we are going to encounter Him, and as you are going to encounter Him, He's going to change you and He's going to bring purpose to your life. Who of you know that Ephesians 2:10, He says, good works He has planned beforehand for each one of us to walk in, to live in, right? I mean, He changed an ordinary fisherman like Peter to a fisher of men, great apostle, an elder of the church. He changes us from being spectators in the church to being participants in His kingdom. Amen? And maybe some of you feel, Lord, I don't have the faith for the encounter. I don't know if I have faith. Listen to me. It's not in your working more that you will muster up faith. It is in your surrender that faith arises from. Okay? Let's just think about Peter, right? He was a rough, rough diamond, right? And Jesus came and He called him. And Jesus, in His grace, encountered him on his road to build his faith. I mean, He takes him along, and Peter is with Jesus when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. The woman with the issue of blood, the amount of miracles that they saw, the thousands of people Jesus fed before Peter. I mean, He was with them when Jesus calmed the raging sea, when Jesus walked on the water. Jesus was transfigured before this man. And what I want to say to you is, Jesus is good. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. As long as you seek Him and keep your eyes on Him, He will encounter you on your road. He will build your faith for whatever it is that you need faith for. Does this make sense to you guys? Okay? So don't try and think of it too much. Just seek Jesus. Is that simple enough? Okay? It is as simple as that. We cannot overcomplicate this. Going into this season, He's the author and the finisher of your faith. You want to be in relationship with Him. You want to be close to Him. That is what will change us. That is what will change you. And I believe that if this is the biblical account, I believe that it is for today. We are living in New Testament times. If the New Testament people of the church encountered the Lord in these miraculous ways, I believe we can encounter Jesus also in miraculous ways. Now, I'm not saying, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? We love signs, miracles, and wonders. It must happen. We also love character. We love the gifts of the Spirit. We love the fruit of the Spirit. But we love the author. We love the one that died on the cross for us more than anything else. And whatever flows from that place is going to be good. It's going to be life-giving. He is the well of life. He will be your answer. He will be enough for each one of us. And I believe we are standing at defining moments and a defining time in history, almost, for your life and for mine. If it is true of the Old Testament characters, if it is true of the New Testament, if it's true for Daniel Kalenda and Todd White and Catherine Kuhlman and Billy Graham, it can be true for you to encounter Jesus and your life never to be the same again after that. And you know what? I wish I can cause all of us to do this, but I can't. All I can do is say, and all we can do as leaders is say to you, this is what we sense the Lord is saying. But your response is going to matter. What you're going to do next is going to matter. The way we respond is going to matter. It's going to matter. You have a choice in this. God isn't forcing you in any direction, but He is calling. And we believe loudly enough that all of us are hearing Him. But all of us can choose. His invitation is, seek me with all your heart and you will find me for the defining moments. And I want to end us off this morning just with this choice, that we just take time and consider what it is that the Lord is doing. You know, sometimes we can, our ears are filled with so much information, our lives are busy, everything. But let's just consider what the Lord is doing for a moment. So I want to invite you, just for a moment, you consider what it is that the Lord is saying to you. What is His call for you? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? I want to end us off just praying and asking the Lord for defining moments. So I want to ask you just this morning in your life, if you just as a moment of responding to what He's saying, Lord, I surrender and I set my sights to seek You. Just that You will stand with me, and I'm going to end us off with prayer, and we're going to trust the Lord that He's going to do something in our hearts and in our midst that will change us forever. Father, thank You that You are speaking to us. Thank You for Your presence and Your love. Father, thank You that You see our hearts, Lord. And Father, I pray that we as a house, God, today we want to ask for defining moments, God. For names to be changed. For destinies to be changed. For identities to be redefined in You, Lord. For that deep longing to know there's more than this, Lord. For a filling, God, for each hungry heart. For a change, Lord, as we encounter the resurrected Christ. Father, so as a house, we want to bring our heart before You and say, Lord, we set our sights to seek You, God. We want to say thank You for this day. Thank You for encountering us even today in worship, speaking to us, Lord. Lord, we fix our eyes on You, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, and I want to pray for every heart and every hungry heart standing for defining moments. Lord, You know the need of every person. Lord, and today we want to say, God, we don't even want to come to You with our needs. We want to come to You because we love You and we want to see You and we want to be close to You, Lord. We want to acknowledge as a house, Lord, that You are our answer. You are our wisdom. You are our strength, Lord. You are the one that pours out love in our hearts, that causes us and gives us the ability to love, to extend grace and to extend forgiveness. Lord, You are the one that frees us, set us free. You are the one that floods us with righteousness and joy and peace by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, today we just want to acknowledge that and say, Lord, we read the biblical examples and we see it is true in the Scriptures, Lord. And we say, we take that, God, and say that if it was true for them, it is true for us, Lord. And our cry is, God, that You will encounter us, that You encounter us, that You will change us, Lord, that You will turn our hearts, Lord, even the hard places in our hearts, Lord. That You will drive fear far from us. Thank You that You did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind, Lord. Lord, we hear Your voice. We see You. We perceive what it is that You are doing in the earth at this stage. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man who is poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is the man that is not offended by Jesus Christ. Lord, and we want to say as well that we do not lean on our own understanding, but we trust You. We trust in You, God. Thank You for these examples that You've set out in Scripture for us, God, to follow, to learn from. In Jesus' name, amen. I just sense this morning that the Lord, I think we all hear His call, we hear His voice, but at the end of the day, the choice lies with each one of us. What we're going to do with what He's saying at this moment. Right? So I know we're choosing well. So we're going into a great week. We're going to fast. We're not going to only be spiritually hungry by the weekend, but physically as well, and that's good. To awaken our spiritual senses. I want to ask the house to pray with us this week. Just in this season, what God is doing. And like Jan said, we don't have to wait for next weekend. But may there be, this week, encounters for you. May there be in this week, dreams and visions for you. Encounters. And may you not only encounter the Lord, but may you almost be like a burning bush through which other people encounter Jesus through your life in this week. So we bless you. And we want to invite you. We're going to have a fellowship afterwards. There's some good coffee afterwards. Thank you, Dirkie. So please stay for fellowship. If there's anybody that's in need of prayer, please come to the front. We're going to be in front. And we would love to pray with you. So bless you. Thank you very much for coming. And have a great, great week.